Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio. It's time for
Dreaded Sports Talk.
Yo, man, this is Captain Frankenstein. This is Tuesday, August the 28th, and we've got some stuff to talk about this week. Welcome to Dreaded Sports Talk. Ha ha, yes, indeed. On the line right now, we have Ken from Jersey, who's been right here. Ken, can you believe that we're going on 3 years? I mean, really?
It doesn't seem like 3 years, but it's gone quick.
Yeah, and the Yankees, man, they're still a thorn in our side along the way.
Yeah, they won tonight. But so did Baltimore, so that's good.
Oh, well. And, you know, the thing is, we have our sports teams and things that we love, and it's been a great thing now as we entered yet another season with the third member of our booth, Mr. Daryl Russell out of Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. That's why we're kind of the good ship is parked right off of Putin Bay this particular evening. Daryl, how are you doing?
Good evening. I'm doing fine, Captain.
All righty then. And it's been a couple of weeks since we had a chance to really reason about some things going on in the sports game. And I will tell you what's on my mind right off the bat. Do you guys know how they always talk about how football players are such criminals, and baseball players, they do this and they do that, and basketball? Well, I have something for you guys to stick up your dreadlocks and let it rip, you know. Just, did you guys happen to hear about the U.S. Open official who killed her husband with a coffee mug? Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, well, that happens. I mean, you want regular, and he makes decaf. You know, things happen.
You know what, Daryl, I think happened was she all of a sudden he made the coffee and she yelled, "Fault!" And then she hit him and said, "Out!" And then he said, "No love." And she said, "Oh, that did it." That's probably what happened. But that's, I'm just telling you, man, I'm sick and tired of them talking about all the other sports where everybody's a bad guy, all the criminals. Apparently, you have to watch out for the officials of the U.S. Open. And they arrested the lady. She was still wearing her U.S. Open officials uniform as they got ready to take her back on extradition to L.A. Detectives stood by and said, "Can I get an autograph?" She said, "I'm just a damn official. I can't do that." But that's my thing. I'm not too mad about too much, except for a topic we're going to get into a little bit later on. But, Ken, what's on your mind? What's really agging at you a little bit in the sports scene?
Well, it was something that happened, I guess it's going on 2 weeks ago now. It's the baseball situation. You know how we give our stupid athlete of the week, we do that award every once in a while?
Yeah.
Well, I think the stupid award of the year has got to go, hands down, to Melky Cabrera. Not only for the obvious stupid reason of, you know, using the testosterone and getting caught, but for trying to fabricate a website. Like nobody was going to check into it, and it's just so bizarre. I can't even think. Imagine that somebody would do it. Now, he said his agent or someone who works for him did it, but it blows my mind to think that he would even try something like that.
That is stupid. So let's just go right out there right now, Ken, and Daryl. Daryl, can you think of anybody dumber than that or that's stupid right now?
Oh, no, I can't. Melky takes the cake. That's the frosting right there.
That takes the cake, and it's frosted. So there you go. Just for the heck of it, we're skipping a little bit and just say right off the cuff that our stupid, dreaded athlete of the decade is Melky Cabrera, and we'll talk about his whole scenario a little bit later. And Daryl, what's going on in your mind?
Oh, what's going on my mind? My gosh, there's so much going on. How about T.O.? I'm about done with hearing so much about T.O. and his signing and just the attitude that he had showing up late to practice, late to, you know, spring training or whatever you want to call it, and training camp, and then, you know, having that attitude and everything. And now he's cut. He dropped, what, 5 passes in the preseason. He hasn't caught anything. And he thinks he deserves this break. Well, guess what? You do deserve a break. You're officially retired in my book. That is just, I can't believe they actually gave him a chance. But I guess he proved himself. So now we see the real Perello.
It sounds like, and it seems like you and I were having a conversation earlier today that the guy that's actually going to be taking his place, well, not taking his place, but the guy who will actually be the receiver that they're keeping is none other than Cleveland's pass receiver, Braylon Edwards. We'll talk about insult to injury, huh?
Can you believe that? I blame Michigan for that, but...
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, in case you guys didn't know this. As you know, the Chicago Bears played the New York Giants here recently, and on this Thursday, Ken, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Darrell Russell and Captain Frank Hedrada are going to the Cleveland Browns Chicago Bears preseason game 2 days from now at Cleveland Stadium. So we're thinking about pulling the Zen Man in as a producer. We may give you guys some reports from the stadium, or we may just simply wear a Kevlar vest because the broadcast booth of Dreaded Sports Talk may never be the same after this matchup.
Well, I have to interject here because it really is going to depend on what happens to our visit to the Naughty Mermaid.
You're not supposed to talk about that. Well, we'll just see what happens. And you know what? I'm looking forward to today's show. And before we get into the day's show, let's get into a little bit of music. All right, how's that? This is Captain Frank and Dredd. You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on Ship Ashore Radio. And myself and Ken and Daryl will be right back in about 4 minutes. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network. You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Dodgers, I just want to ask this question. Do you guys think that now we have an evil empire on the West Coast because the Dodgers, they just pulled out their wallet and said, here, I have an American Express, you can't touch this platinum gold to the fifth power of roses to my girl card. That's what they pulled out. They pulled out a card that apparently isn't going to get stumped. Can you believe it? They over $250 million in contracts they just assumed from Boston Red Sox. I guess they kind of figured if Boston can't win with those players, they'll take them off their hands. But first it was Hanley Ramirez, and then you had Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Becker, Nick Punto. I mean, wow. And they're not even worried. They're like already like $100 million, and they're, you know, the threshold for paying that tax is like $175 million. They're going to be paying a luxury tax, and they don't care. It looks like they're still going to spend. Are you buying into them being the new evil empire on the West Coast?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree, too. Spend that kind of money, you better win, first of all.
Two and a half games back, and they're two games out of the wild card.
They took a hit tonight, possibly. I was watching baseball tonight, and Kemp was tracking down a fly ball out in center field. And I don't know if he didn't see the warning track, was just totally oblivious to where he was, but he ran face first into the wall. You'll see that on SportsCenter tonight. He was down. He didn't look too good when they carted him off. He looked like he took a big shot there.
Well, I think he was running to Bank of America to cash his check.
He's going to cash his check, but the other ones tried to cash theirs.
So do they have extra people watching this game and calling the coach and telling him to check him for a concussion, too?
Yeah, that's a valid point. I'm sure with all the money you're throwing around, they probably have additional staff members. But my thing about the Dodgers is this. Don Mattingly, who thought at some point, maybe, just maybe, he may end up being like the manager of the Yankees. He is. They're just wearing blue. First they had Don Mattingly. Do you buy into those guys winning next year? Well, you know what? Let's tackle right now. Do you buy in them getting into the playoffs this year?
I mean, they could. That division in the wild card is pretty wide open, and they're close to both. I think they could. I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, I think Josh Beckett was kind of, I wouldn't say a throw-in, but I don't know if they really wanted him. That guy hasn't shown anything in a while. He lost his first start with them, although he didn't pitch awful. He gave up three runs. They just didn't hit in that game, but they're actually getting pounded again tonight by Colorado, 6-2.
What can I say? What are your observations, Big D?
Well, you know, I really can't hate the Dodgers as much as I hate the Yankees, but I think they're going to have a tougher time going into the wild card or making the playoffs than the other team that's just as close. So.
You may be right. I just know this. The reason Josh Beckett, they were reluctant to get him, because before they even decided to pick him up in the trade, they realized that Jack in the Box did not sell fried chicken. So, just point there. Be that as it may, talking about someone who likes to eat a lot of junk food, not only was Melky Cabrera and his harebrained scheme exposed, but Bartolo Colon has been exposed too. And now, we've already talked about when he hurt himself and had that platelet-rich therapy of having your stem cells replaced, you know, it's called the new cheating thing. Well, now he's been busted cold, all right? So two players busted for steroids, or excuse me, for testosterone. Do you believe that there's still drugs in the sport?
Yes, I do. I do believe that there's still drugs out there. And it's probably pretty easy. I mean, if we were allowed into the doors that they walk through to mingle with them, I bet it would be very easy for us to locate who has it and to obtain it.
maybe so. I know you have some strong opinions on it, Ken.
They talked to the guy from Balco, and he came up with a number, which I think is a little high, but he says maybe 50% of major leaguers are using some sort of performance-enhancing material. I don't know if that sounds a little bit high, but, I mean, look, I guess the testosterone doesn't bulk you up. I mean, look at Bartolo Colon. You never know. He was, you know, I don't know what benefit he gave him. Maybe, you know, he gets bulked up at the buffet table, but I don't know.
Same thing they gave CeCe.
Yeah,
obviously. But the thing is, I don't know if that number is too high or not, Ken, just because you look back to Kim Caminiti and his statements and look what happened. You look at even Jose Canseco, look what happened. And now you have players playing. Well, speaking of Roger Clemens, which I didn't before, but now I will, he's trying to come back. He's lying. I totally believe that he wants to come back and pitch in the major league level so that he'll have another 5 years for his legacy to get better. That's what I believe. That's how much of an ego he has. But that aside, here's the question of the week, of the month, of the season. Is Derek Jeter juicing, in your opinion? I got to start with the man. Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
I would, deep down, my gut feeling is I would say no. But, you never know. Here's a guy with the squeaky clean reputation, probably not being watched real well. The last guy you'd expect to do it probably has a little more freedom, a little more, you know, leeway. The thing that's a little suspicious is all these guys that have been caught recently and, you know, the boatload of guys in the past all have connections back to the Yankees.
That's kind of funny. Darryl, would you like to share your philosophy or your theory?
My theory is Derek Jeter is the candy man. He is the one, you're absolutely right, Ken. Derek Jeter is the one that he is squeaky clean. Is he using? No, I don't think he's using. I think that he really does have a great work ethic. And for how old is he, 38, playing shortstop? He's a great athlete. I don't think he's using, but I think what he's doing is he's probably investing money and making money on the side by being the candy man and dishing it out. Nobody's gonna suspect it. It's like I hate to put it this way. It's like a cop going bad and making money on drugs now because he sees, you know, you just in it, you see it so much, you think it's so easy. Who's gonna suspect something like that? I think Derek Jeter could be in that position. Is he in that position? No, I didn't say that. He could be in that position.
All right, you may be right, but I have an alternate theory on what's going on. Everyone's familiar with his fiancée. I think she did the same thing that Tom Brady's wife has done. She simply said, these are the stats I want you to put up, and if you don't put them up, I'm not going to put out. That's what I think happened. That's exactly what I think happened there. Yeah, so let's talk about Roger Clemens for a second. Do you think it's a good idea to allow him even an opportunity to come back?
I don't think so. I know he was proven innocent. They didn't prove nothing, but you know this guy did it. It's a publicity stunt. He's 50 years old. No team is going to sign him if that's his goal after, you know, what just went down.
Ken, the Astros want to sign him. What do you mean no team's going to sign him? The Astros want to sign him, and they're, what, 30 and a half games out of the wild card, 37 out of first? I mean, he may have been found not guilty, but the emails, the connections, the conversations, all that points to a totally different direction with him. I think it's a four-letter word as to why he's coming back.
Well, you know, I'm what is that four-letter word?
Death.
I like the way you're thinking on that. I just want to say this about Roger Clemens. He is the most egomaniacal egomaniacal person I've ever really. I mean, he's worse than Ricky Henderson. No, wait a minute. I take that back. That's so wrong. No one's worse than Ricky Henderson. But here's my thing, flat out, and I'll be very brief with this. Just remember, he was not found not guilty. He was acquitted of the charges based on how the prosecutors made their case, meaning that if they had done a better job of presenting their witnesses and being ready for Andy Pettit to backtrack, because that sounded to me, that was very fishy how all of a sudden Andy Pettit, well, it's possible that I didn't misremembering. I mean, really? Just to play on words, but it worked. So, again, he was not found not guilty. He was just acquitted based on how they decided to prosecute him. Either way, he's a scumbag in my book. Yes, the captain said it. And Roger will always be that way with me. All right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And to top that off, he really didn't get to go out the way he wanted to go out. So you're right on those points of saying he's an egotistical whatever. And that's probably what this is all about, is the fact that he wants to go out on his terms now because he wasn't given that opportunity before.
They should have a new category in any sport. Will a person get TO'd? I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but you're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk right here on Ship to Shore Radio, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network with Captain Frank and Dredd, Trusty First Mate Ben from Jersey, and Evil Rob from Evil Side of Sports 6.9. Thanks for listening.
All right, everyone. We are now back and now on to more topics, more things that are highly important. In the American League, to you, very briefly, who is the most underachieving team for you? Start with you, Ken.
The Red Sox, by far. I think they're heads and shoulders above. I would put the Tigers a close second, but Red Sox, with all that talent, especially the stuff, the players they just traded away, to be where they are, is bizarre.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Let's talk about Daryl. What do you think in the American League?
Oh, you just messed me up with that American League thing. You already know my answer was Boston. They just traded the whole boat away. I can't see another team that's underachieving in Boston. They have such a history with being up there and always competing and being within reach of the pennant that this year for Boston was just a wash and unbelievable that they literally gave up. They gave up. Come on, Boston. Where's the Boston fans at right now? Start calling in and backing me up on this. The Red Sox gave up. They quit. There, I said it.
What does that say about Bobby Valentine, though?
Well, it doesn't say much because he's not the one that's doing it, and you know who's doing it, so.
Yeah. Here's my theory on the Red Sox. I'll make this brief. They are trying to get rid of any and everything that happened during the Theo Epstein era, all 10 years of it. They're getting rid of everything. They can't get rid of the two championships they won while he was there. But you think about it, all the high-priced players, all everything, Ben Cherington, their general manager now, he's trying to change some stuff up. So good luck to you folks, but you are definitely the most underachieving, which takes us to the National League. I'm going to come right off the bat and tell you, regardless of the records, who do I think is the most underachieving team in the National League? The Philadelphia Phillies. To me, that's the hands-down team. They had the pitching to win a World Series. So they thought. They picked up all these players. It's been so bad, they unloaded. They had a fire sale of their own somewhat early on, like Hunter Pence and all those cats. They got rid of them. Okay, I mean, then you look at Lee. really? They pay Cliff Lee. They paid him all this money, and he'll be lucky if he has 6 wins this year. So I'm picking the Phillies in the National League as the most underachieving team.
I would agree. I would go with Philadelphia. Maybe a quick note with maybe Miami. They were supposed to be much better than they were, and they're floundering in last place. But when you look at the pitching staff the Phillies have, and the payroll they have to be where they are that's underachieving. The two biggest underachievers have two of the biggest payrolls in the game.
Isn't that something, Daryl?
Miami is my pick for the National League underachieving team. Their coach is such a cunning manager. He really knows how to tweak the team with his experience that he has and that team of the city and the state to the west of us that remains unmentionable. And with his experience, to see this team come out with new uniforms, et cetera, the new name, not the Florida Marlins anymore, they're the Miami Marlins. I feel that they just, Ken, they flounder. That was funny. Marlins flounder. that's definitely the Marlins for me. They're the most underachieving team in the National League. They should have done. They were picked to do a lot better than what they're doing now. And I can't believe that they didn't quit. Not like Boston. They just didn't live up to the potential and hasn't been played very well to be in last place the way they are.
Yeah, that was my second pick as well, so we're all kind of on the court except that Mr. Russell decided that he wanted to get in a lifeboat and swim on his own around all the fish down in Miami and tell everybody all about it and smoke a Cuban cigar, and we won't go any further on that one, but that's the deal. Who should be fired as manager first? We'll start the American League. Let's be brief here. Who should be the manager in your mind who should lose their job in the American League?
I would say Valentine. Although he was put in a bad situation, I think this was a sinking ship before he got there. I don't think he is the guy for that team. And he just ticked too many people off. He's got that abrasive personality. Maybe once they clean house and bring a bunch of new people in, but something about him just rubs me the wrong way. I've never been a big fan of his whatsoever, but if he was the manager he was supposed to be and, you know, lived up to his reputation and his huge salary as well, he would have turned his team around. He would have set the law straight in the clubhouse. I know he cut out the beer and the chicken, but apparently that wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm. Daryl? So he's saying
Wedge.
Bobby Valentine. Say again?
Eric Wedge.
Uh-huh. I know you have an ulterior motive for that.
No. No, they let some good players go. You know, Ichiro went to the pinstripes and everything. Seattle saw what was happening, and I don't think that Eric had a good handle on his team. They're in the basement. I don't think that was expected this year for their division out in the West. 62 and 67, they're not even at 500. The Angels are faring better than them. But he just didn't have a team, and they didn't give him the team that he needed. I don't think he can manage. I don't think he's a very good manager. I mean, he didn't do anything big in Cleveland. You get to that certain level as a manager, and Eric Wedge has this history, where it really starts looking good and the wins start rolling in, and then all of a sudden it just goes, Maniac is there right now with Cleveland. A couple other managers are in there. Unfortunately, Minnesota's one of the teams with a manager like that. You just get to that level, and you can't get any further. Eric Wedge is one of those managers.
Ken?
National League?
American League. Who should be fired?
Oh, like I said, Bob Valentine. I went already.
I apologize for that because I was absolutely stunned that our newest member of our booth, who gave us quite the moratorium on all the managers in the American League who should be fired. What I should have asked was, who deserves to stay? For me, Manny Acta should go because he's just been acting like a manager. 2 years now, the Cleveland Indians have jumped out to significant leads only to lead themselves back to the spring training. So, I mean, what can I tell you? I think Manny Acta in the National League now, that's going to be something else. Daryl, I'll let you start this one off.
Oh, I don't even, you know what? I'm gonna bail on this one because I don't even know who their manager is, but the Cubs.
Wait a minute. See, Ken, this is why he's not going to make it back from the Cleveland Browns game, saying things like this, because everybody knows we're just waiting until next year. So it doesn't matter who our manager is, but okay. No, we're not even going to. Yes, we will. I'm sorry. Let me just throw this out here right now. This is the first year the guy's been a manager. He is nothing more than a manager that they're going to let live out his contract so they can bring someone in high profile once they get all the pieces that they believe they need to quit waiting until next year. So I will just have to say to you, right back at you, Mr. Acta should be fired, so don't try to fire my manager.
No. Let's see, which is exactly why I'm doing him the favor of the embarrassing growing years of being the manager right now. Get out.
He was a fall guy when he took the job. Everybody knows it. He knows it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's going to end up being the bench coach. The same thing happened in Milwaukee. He was there forever, and then another coach came, and he agreed to stay on as the bench coach. That's all
there's no vendetta. There's no vendetta on my list here. It's actually doing him a nice favor. And, you know, sometimes you're Bruce Springsteen and sometimes you're Little Stevie. So if you know that you're a better Little Steven than you are a Bruce Springsteen, just accept it.
Well, I was going to say Houston's manager should be fired, but they already fired him, so I can't even go there. Ken?
My National League pick will probably Ozzie Guillen.
I didn't think
he should have been hired in the first place. And that team had expectations. They had, you know, they spent some money. They have a decent team, and they kind of just floundered from the start. They, I guess the first month of the season they were doing a little better. Then it just fell off a cliff from there. And he never was able to right the ship. He would be my National League pick.
I hear you, but did you know he was hired? But did you know he was legitimately and actually traded from the White Sox to the Marlins because his contract was not up? He was essentially traded for cash and considerations. They had to give up two minor leaguers in order for Ozzie Guillen to go to Miami. A lot of people don't know that. So he should be cut like T.O. is what you're saying. Okay, now we have a story on all of that, and we'll see what happens. Now, as far as the surprise teams, we're going to keep this super brief. I have to say that my National League surprise team would be, are you ready for this? Atlanta. I'm surprised that they have adopted so well so quickly. I'm not going to say Pittsburgh because didn't you and I both just say last year that Pittsburgh was going to have a much better year and they probably finished 500 somewhere amongst the rum, and we actually said that, so we can't. I truly believe Atlanta is the surprise team. I mean, Bobby Cox is gone, and now Freddy Gonzalez has put his own stamp on there. So that's my surprise team in the National League. And my surprise team in the American League, please, 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 someone else say it for me. You know I don't want to mention this team. I don't want to give them any credit. Okay, you're going to make me say it. The Chicago White Sox. So there you have it. What about you, Daryl?
My biggest surprise in the American League is Baltimore, the Baltimore Orioles. The history that I have with them, I'm really surprised that they are where they are within reach going into this last stretch of the season. My National League surprise, believe it or not, Cincinnati, first place in the Central. Wow. I would have never thought that.
Let's take the time to debate that one, okay? Have you looked at their roster, first of all? I'm going to tell you why that's not a surprise to me. It's surprising to you. And, Ken, you can weigh in on this, too. First of all, no matter how many people hate Dusty Baker, and I'm absolutely one of them because I'm still pissed that of what happened with the Cubs. Actually, I'm not mad at him. I'm mad that they did him the way he did and the fact that now the Reds just take it out on us every time they come to town. But the truth is, look back to San Francisco. Look to the Cubs just the same. Look to the Reds. Dusty Baker has a way of getting in the playoffs and bringing the best out of his teams. Nobody knows exactly how he does it, but he does it. They're the worst fundamentally sound teams in the whole friggin' league, but that does not surprise me a bit. In fact, I was counting on the Cincinnati Reds to win the Central. If they didn't, then they would be my underachieving team. They've got great pitching, and they've made some stellar trades this year. And I even heard the hot dogs are better at the stadium. So Cincinnati, they're doing what they're supposed to do. That's my opinion. Well, how does the Reds for you, Ken, and as far as fantasy anything, you keep a good handle on things. Did you see this side of Cincinnati this year?
No, not at all. In fact, the two teams I picked for the National and the American League are identical to Darryl's. Baltimore is my surprise team, with maybe Oakland a close second. And then Cincinnati, and I would probably say that my second choice would be Washington. I knew they'd be better. I didn't think they would be this good.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, Daryl, after like one full year, you realize that we have our own sports show. Why?
Because we know what the hell we're talking about.
That's exactly right, because Ken and I have really done some things in the show, and when Evil was here too, man, week after week, and even when we had Sin Man to come in here, we laid it out. People ought to listen more, and they won't have to, because here's the thing, folks, we are going to determine whether we're going to be at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, but Tuesdays will now belong only to Jetta Sports Talk again on Tuesday nights, and we're going to be rebroadcast on two other networks twice during the week, and one additional network, this one, a rebroadcast. So if you miss on Tuesday, you're going to get sick by Sunday, because you're going to get sick of us telling you what's really going down, because we have our own sports show, because we know what the hell we're doing, just as much as we know that Drew Brees is.
He was the greatest fantasy quarterback in history. This year, it's Aaron Rodgers. We actually have the choice. We don't with this league. We don't pick our draft position until we get there. You get an envelope with a card with a number, and we actually pick number one. So we had our choice, first choice over anybody. But I'm thinking with all the turmoil and the everything that's going on down in New Orleans, we kind of shied away from him, and we went Aaron Rodgers this year. But I shouldn't say that, because I have another draft next Tuesday. He may be the greatest quarterback in that league. We don't know.
Well, we're just going to find out. All right, everyone, you're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk right here, the Dreaded Sports Talk Network. It's part of the station of Ship to Shore Radio. We'll catch you guys. Looks like we're going to be here until 11:30 tonight, so I want you guys to raise your glass a second to the upper 48. Mr. Chris Ream will take us to our break. And for us, we're on the North Coast this evening, at least Dale and I are, and we're going to go grab some rum, perhaps during this 5 minutes and 58 seconds. And Ken, go have your wife to fix your sandwich. And we'll get you guys right back in just a moment. Thanks for listening.
Mark.
It's early home.
Chairs off the tables in the bar. It's a new dawn. I see the water in the bay. Glisten and shine. In the distance I hear a tug's horn. Let out a girls all give a pretty smile. Streets are wet from the night before another drop of storm. Homeless still scatter the doorway, sleeping it off. Work in Duval rewards a sidewalk and a bottle. Friends and family. call me. Say, why not visit back home? And although I love him dear, I just never want to live here. The roots have grown to this old rock, like me firm and strong. Lockers gone wild at blue heaven, where we all belong. But I don't want to go nowhere. That way I'll never be late. Island time is this life of mine. So raise my glass to the upper. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so raise my glass to the upper. Raise my glass to the upper 40.
That was Chris Ream, and that was Raise Your Glass to the Upper 48. Here's the thing for me. It is now time to talk about one of the biggest issues in sports, and that is Lance Armstrong. I am very upset about this whole process because, number one, Lance Armstrong is probably one of the most influential and most important athletes of all time. Yes, I said it. And I challenge people to come up with someone who's done more for the accomplishment of people in their worst days, having the confidence to keep going. Until Lance Armstrong said it was okay to get out of bed and keep fighting cancer, a lot of people, they just didn't care anymore. And I personally do not care about this, the USADA or whatever acronym. I don't care if it's NCIS. My point is, the man has done so much. And first of all, everybody knows, and didn't we talk about this before, Ken, everybody in cycling is doping. Everyone. I'm sorry. That's right. I mean, you look at all, this is bogus. Because if they strip all of his titles from him, did you realize in most years they have to go all the way back to the fifth place finisher just to find someone to give the tour to? That's sad, all right? And then his teammates who testified against him, in order for them to continue racing and get a more favorable ruling, they're testifying against him to get preferential treatment. Some of them, like Floyd Landis, he is a liar. He, in court, he was deemed a liar. You look at Tyler Hamilton, all of those guys, and their teammates, all right? So can anyone explain to me why is it that Lance Armstrong, who was under suspicion for so long, why is it that there is no test that ever came back positive? That's my question, first of all, before I continue. You guys have an answer for me? Because I don't have one.
I don't have a clue. I don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, they say they have some blood test that they got a hold of. First of all, that's suspect to me. Here's a man who had first, and the other thing is he had cancer drugs and everything else that just the man lost a testicle. And he's on the bike riding. I don't even want to go through all that. My point is this. Let it rest. But now I don't really look at it as bad. The man has already spent $5 million of his own money trying to fight this thing. And now even if he fights and goes to arbitration, he's looking at another 3 to 5 years and maybe $10 to $15 million fighting it. Why bother? Because obviously they're on a witch hunt. So let it go and keep making our family members, whoever they are, anyone who's touched by cancer in their family, give them a great chance and a voice, someone to make them feel like it's okay to keep fighting. And people say, well, he picked the wrong time to quit. No. Would you rather him quit his Live Strong organization, who is nearing $500 million in donations to research? That is the single largest, by a long shot, by hundreds of percentage points, over any other sports foundation raising money for any cause, any cause. So that's my point. He has done so much good, I wouldn't care. I mean, I really wouldn't care if he said he shot President Kennedy at this point. That's how I feel. Anybody want to weigh in on that? Any of it?
I agree with you that it's a witch hunt regarding him, Lance Armstrong, but I'm flabbergasted. You know, I mean, the one thing that struck me that was the comment that, well, he could have kept a couple of his titles if he had just cooperated. Well, you don't have anything against him. He's never tested, you know, for anything, positive for anything. He's been clean. He's done so much good. I don't understand why he should cooperate. So,
yeah, if he's clean and you have no proof, there's nothing to cooperate and or admit to, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, I appreciate all he's done, and I don't understand what the big deal is. Is it the fact that these guys are, you know, the people that he was racing against, they have such a vendetta against him that they blindsided him with all this erroneous charges and stuff and took his 7 titles. I mean, that was one hell of an accomplishment. 7 titles. All throughout whatever he had, he battled it. Of course he was taking stuff. Come on. But he still, whatever test they put in front of him, it never popped him. And I think it's just jealousy. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's not like the Jamaican sprinters. Everybody knows they're juicing. I mean, I'm throwing that out there. So I'm just trying to tell you this. Lance Armstrong is still an American hero. And remember, he won a bunch of those tours. It was three, however many he won. But he came back after having testicular cancer. It had gone to his brain. They thought he was dead, and he came back. So really, I don't even want to hear their mess anymore. Well, in fact, just like he told most reporters, I'm done talking about this to anybody. I'm going on with my work. So what's going on with my work? And talk about the next subject. Yes, indeed. Drum roll, someone. Michael Strahan. Man, too bad you can't use that. Hey, Ken, you know, Daryl has this really crazy app on his phone that sounds like a shaker and a marimba. He shakes it through the air and it plays different notes. That's pretty awesome. But so Michael Strahan, can you believe it? Former New York Giant is now the new Regis on Regis and Kelly. Who saw that coming?
I didn't see that coming at all.
That was a surprise.
I'd watched a segment, and the sexual innuendos were just flying out there, and I said, wow, Mike, how far we've come. Because do you guys remember that crazy chick he was married to who stole all the paintings and stole the money out of his checking account, and he had to pay her like $267,000 a month for a while, some crazy number. And he was almost near broke. And he got a nice contract for the Giants that sustained them. But by all accounts, he's just a funny, cool guy. He lost his playing weight. Now, you know what I mean? If you notice, he's lost a lot of weight and he's in shape. He did the Doritos commercial or whatever it was. I don't know. But Michael Strahan, good for you. He kept his nose clean when he was playing ball, and now he is the new Regis Philbin. I don't know if that's a good thing, but Michael and Kelly, or is it Kelly and Michael? I don't know, but he's now got a hell of a job. It's a job for life, pretty much. You just have to keep signing the contracts.
I hope that he does not go off on a tangent on one subject, a la Mr. Philbin and Notre Dame.
No, I think you're going to be okay because they did a pretty good job of vetting him, and that's going to be good. But see, even I can be happy and acknowledge something that a New York Giant does. So that's just how I'm going to look at that one. So, guys, here it is, a Tuesday night, and Dreaded Sports Talk is on. It's like the good old days. I want everyone to get themselves ready because it's football season. All righty.
More cowbell.
Awesome. That's that app I was telling you about. And now we're going to take a short pause, and we'll be back to discuss football. Exactly right. That horn was significant because it details the end of Terrell Owens' career. I think he's gone for good.
He should be.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So, Ken, just name some of the things that just annoy you about that dude and why he should be done.
Oh, God, we have to extend the show another hour. I mean, his attitude, and you could see it's truly his attitude. I mean, he had the attitude and the, you know, the flamboyant stunts he used to pull when he was decent and a productive player. Now he's hanging on for his dear life, and he's still got the same attitude. He was complaining. They weren't getting him the ball. He was dropping. He was just disrupting the team they're in training camp. They probably couldn't afford to keep this guy just for the morale of the team. Never mind the fact that he didn't perform up to NFL, you know, standards. He just it was just time. And the league's actually gotten rid of two of the biggest pains they have had in their history with him and Ocho Cinco. All going down in
Chad
the game.
Johnson. You mean Chad Johnson?
Chad Johnson.
I'm sure his mom's happy that he got his name back, but now he's been cut. She probably said, I don't know that guy. I think his last name is Cinco. Like his career sunk. Yeah, man. Yeah, we've had some, and I must admit, Daryl, for the last couple of years, Ken and I have had plenty of material. T.O. always gave us something. We didn't have to worry about things to talk about.
Well, I think the Jets will take care of that this season.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're getting there here in a second. Wow, that's coming up. So, Daryl, T.O., what's your take?
Well, he proved himself. I think he showed his true colors. All this flamboyant activity, all the things that he said and done over his career were really him. They were his ideas. It was him. And it really came to fruition with his late to training camp, showing up late, dropping the passes, his attitude to reporters. And that's why he lost the job to, of all people, Braylon Edwards.
I knew that was coming back.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You know, he's supposed to be a veteran. He's supposed to be a leader. And this was his chance. He was like, I'm very grateful that I got this. Thank you. And whatever else he said, I'm sure there was a whole bunch of sponsors and names after all that glitter talk. But his actions, you know, spoke louder than his words. And the true colors came out. And I think he's done. I think he's out of football. He should retire.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. So, therefore, we're done talking about that guy because he's just a pain in the dreadlocks, I'll tell you that right now. But that's how I prefer to see it. It doesn't matter how you see it. He sucks. I'm done with him. Oh, but the Cowboys could possibly pick him up. You know how they are. But who knows? Next up, five rookie starting quarterbacks. I'm going to start this one off because I'm going to tell you right now. The most surprising, first of all, I want to make sure everyone knows that Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. You have, that luck kid for Indianapolis and some guy who rebranded himself RG3 at the Redskins, and you have Brandon Whedon, a 28-year-old rookie for the Cleveland Browns, and Russell Wilson, the guy that I picked to become the starter at Seattle when he was drafted. And guess what? It came to fruition. No, this is not because I want anyone to know that I was right. I want you to know that I was right. The guy, he outplayed everyone else. Matt Flynn, I think you even said it, Ken. Matt Flynn, he's overpriced, and wow. Really? That's like Charlie Whitehurst, who they tried to bring last year to become a starter. He didn't work out. There's a reason why they were all backups, because they're the backup, to back up the clipboard holder. So that was a big bust. They paid a lot of money. They might as well cut Matt Flynn. I'm sorry, but that's the way I see it. But out of those guys, who is going to be the best out of the lot?
Oh, that's tough.
You know one person's going to stand out.
It's not tough. RG3 is going to be it. Tannehill's going to get eaten up and spit out. Brandon Whedon had an attitude of, well, you know, I've been here 10 days, so I deserve to start. Give me a break. Andrew Luck, I don't think he's ready yet. Even with all the training that he's had at these quarterback institutions that have popped up across the nation, I think there's one in California, one in Florida, if I remember correct. I think it's going to be Robert Griffin III and Russell Wilson, of all people that are going to really stand out of the five, I think you're going to hear more about those two than you will about Luck, Tannehill, and Whedon.
Okay, now if you were to just choose one, which is your charge, out of the two, who will be the best?
I think it'll be Robert Griffin III. I think he's more mobile and more athletic all around. As I think he has, okay, let me change this scenario. I think he has more quarterback in his athleticism. How's that?
Okay, Ken.
Well, what I've seen in the preseason games, now, I know they're only preseason games, Russell Wilson has put on a pretty good show out there in Seattle. Griffin's been good, too. Luck's had his moments. Tannehill, I don't think he has the weapons to make him successful down there. I mean, he's got a running game led by Reggie Bush, who, in my estimation, is still just a third down back. If I pick one that's going to stand out the most, I might have to go with Griffin, too, just because he seems like a bigger guy, more athletic, a little more under control. I've seen some things with the other guy, with Russell Wilson, and he just seems a little scattered sometimes. I would say Griffin probably would be the top of those five guys.
Well, let me tell you who has the offensive line, in my estimation, to save somebody's rear end. Seattle has a proven offensive line, okay? The Dolphins do not. They do not. They, okay, Tannehill, new offense, he's going to bite the dust a lot. RG3, he's been sacked a lot, okay? And it's not, he's maybe fast, but what are you going to do when it seems like they're already coming for you before the ball snapped? So, Russell Wilson, he has great protection. Brandon Whedon, well, let's just go ahead and save him on that one. I believe you're right. Russell Wilson or RG3 is going to be one of the two. So, preseason thoughts. Have you seen anything out of anybody? I know it's preseason. I know what yours may be, Daryl. I know we're going to this game, and I feel cheated because Colt McCoy is the quarterback and not Whedon. I feel cheated. I know you probably have some thoughts among those minds.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, they're my home team, but I don't think the Browns have the offensive line yet either. They're in the same situation as Miami. I'm looking at these scores of the preseason, which really don't mean anything, but some of these scores are really impressive. I mean, when was this? This was August 24th. Seahawks 44, the Chiefs 14. The Redskins beat the Colts 30-17. I mean, and then you look at the Browns, and they picked apart Green Bay 35-something, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. 35-10. You know, they pick them apart, and then they come back the next week and they lose to Philadelphia. That is very inconsistent. They weren't on the board that much. They weren't on the offense that much. I think all around, I don't think it's going to be cyclic the way the NFL has been with the teams in the upper echelon. And the teams that we expect to win, I think we're going to see a big turnover, and the unexpected teams are going to be up there. As a matter of fact, I even have some picks if we have time. We can go over some of my picks, my guesses as to who's going to be in and out.
Well, we're going to say that.
Let Ken answer. Go ahead and let Ken speak about his preseason thoughts. I'm interested in hearing this.
Going to give you what I think is going to be my biggest disappointing team this coming season. I think it's going to be the Jets. That's one of the worst offensive lines I've seen in a while. I don't think it matters who the quarterback's going to be. He's going to be under pressure. He's going to be running, which would probably make it more of an advantage for Tebow, since he's more of he's more of a runner than a passer anyway. But that's going to be a disaster there, I think. And then you're going to get Santonio Holmes is going to start crying. He's not getting the ball. I think it's going to be an interesting season in New York area. I think the Giants will do okay. They haven't really been. They've got a couple injuries in the secondary, but the defensive line is phenomenal. You have three major, you know, pass rushers there, and that's going to be a tough schedule they have. But I think they'll come out of it okay.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what some of the rookies do. I think Luck is going to have a little better season in Indianapolis than people think. From what I've seen him in the preseason games, he's having a good preseason. I think he's because of the system he played in at Stanford. I think he's going to pick things up a little quicker and adapt a little quicker.
Well, he better, because otherwise, whoo boy, have you ever been outside of Lucas Oil Stadium? Shoo, they'll just throw him over the top of the stadium, and everybody knows around the stadium it's not a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, yeah, because you know what they say? Oh, he's going to make them forget about Peyton Manning. You let him stink up two or three games, they're going to say, why the hell did you get rid of Peyton Manning? It's good right now. They feel lucky. Yeah, I used that cheap thrill on that one. Yes, I did. For me, what's amazing is the Bears. Yep, I have to go there. What's amazing is they actually look like an NFL football team again. Albeit injuries could sap them, even in the preseason, you can tell that they're going to keep Cutler upright. I mean, they have sometimes 3, 4, 5 people in to protect him, and they're running pass routes and things. Now they have a number one receiver. He can simply go on a route and do his thing, and Cutler can get the ball to him no matter where he goes. I mean, he's got zip on the passes, and it's a good chance that he's not going to get knocked back to Vanderbilt. So, but if not for injuries, I'm seriously going to go out on a limb and say the Bears are a team you better watch out for. I've seen that in preseason already, okay? Because then there's Devin Hester. And if you have Devin Hester on your team, you're always going to be all right. That's what I've just seen in preseason. I've seen this, too, which nobody mentioned. I can't believe it. How the hell are we going to start a season with high school referees?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're noticeably bad. I mean, when they're making a call, they seem unsure. Like, you don't get that. Even a simple offside call, it just seems like the guys, it's just something's not right, you know. And it's going to come down to an important game, a real game, and it's going to be a messed up call, and then it's going to be all hell's going to break loose.
It's happening in preseason already, Ken. Roger Goodell, somebody needs to slap him, okay? Really? Get the guys back in here right now. Because even the rules that he's put forth, you need the guys to understand how to enforce them. Because these high school guys, they don't know these rules. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But I'm going to leave that right there, because it seems like we have 12 minutes left in the show, which means that we're going to continue right on. Which means the next thing to talk about is, would someone like to read the category, please?
Why, I don't know what you're talking about.
Would someone like to read the next category, please?
How long will Mark Sanchez be the starter in New York?
Exactly.
3 weeks.
I had you to read that because that's been asked since Tim Tebow came. So why are we still having to ask it? Because now it's becoming clear that Sanchez isn't going to last too long.
It's almost like they set him up to fail. They really didn't put any kind of offensive players around him. The offensive line is like Swiss cheese. Santonio Holmes is maybe on a regular team, he's a good second receiver. You know, he doesn't have that speed. He's not your number one game breaker. And that's all they have except for rookie Stephen Hill and Curley. These aren't proven guys. Sean Green is, to me, is like a second tier back. He's not, you know, somebody who should be leading your ground game. Joe McKnight, there's nobody there. So no matter who the quarterback is, it's going to be a rough go. And it just seems like they want Tebow for some reason. I guess he sells more jerseys in the store. There's got to be some reason, but they set Sanchez up so it's going to be near impossible for him to win.
Well, Peyton Manning is number one in jersey sales, and Tim Tebow is number eight in NFL jersey sales. I just want to say to you before Daryl steps in here and sets us both straight, more than likely, that Tim Tebow during Saturday's game, it was pretty obvious he should be starter. I don't know if you guys saw that game at the very end, but well, this is what I saw. I said, even in preseason, this dude, surely he's not going to. The game was 17-12, and they needed a touchdown. He drove him down the field, and I thought, oh, hell no, not again. And you know what happened? He was working with third or fourth or sixth or seventh. I think it was the water boys on the field with him. And this son of a gun almost still pulled it off. The last play of the game, did you see that he put the ball on the money and the dude just dropped it on the last play of the game that would have won it? Because the dude was probably the water boy. At that point, they had all the starters
at that point,
on.
Yeah, at that point, you have the clubhouse attendant filling in out there. Although that's all you're going to see this week, because they've already said that Sanchez and Tebow both are not going to play.
Oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense. You have two quarterbacks who could start. Why don't you at least let one of them play? The third-string quarterback, who cares if you got Tebow and Sanchez? He's never going to play anyway.
Apparently, they've been working all preseason on the Wildcat, but they've kept that close to reporters and everybody. So that's a little wrinkle we haven't seen because they haven't used it in the game yet. But I don't know how often they're going to use it, how they're going to use it. But they're kind of putting a lot of stock into that right now. That's all I hear is, well, you haven't seen our full offense yet. The Wildcat, we haven't used it in preseason because we don't want to tip anybody off, give anybody film to look at.
Well, isn't that like Ferrano? He realizes that Miami was kicking everybody's butts until y'all caught up to it.
Yeah, it'll work for a little bit. Now it's not a surprise anymore. So as soon as you run it, somebody's going to look at the film real quick and there's going to be a defense for it.
The only difference is when you have a quarterback the size of a defensive tackle, which Tebow is now, somebody's bound to get hurt. And I will say this, Ken, I have no problem enjoying whatever it is Tebow does as long as it shuts his mouth about other things and you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So if he can just keep that pretty cool and just play ball, it'll be happy to see what happens. The Jets, wow. Talk about a train wreck, I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, they were asking the Giants who's a better team and all the stuff about the Jets. The Jets? You talking about the Jets. All righty then, everyone. This has been a really cool show so far as we get into the groove of the NFL comes by. I have to pause on this one. I can't believe it. Maurice Jones-Drew. Can you believe that this guy, Khan, is treating them that way, and do you think it's unjustified? And I want your point of view. We'll start with you, Mr. Russell.
Well, the train's leaving the station, so you better get on it. I don't know. I mean, you think of the Jaguars, you think of Fred Taylor, and then you think of Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, I don't think what he's doing, and especially putting his, and we're talking about Khan, his putting his comments out into the public, handling it the way he is, in my opinion, I don't think he's doing it the right way. I don't think he's treating him, you know, I mean, come on, sit down with the guy, find out exactly what he wants, and come to a mutual agreement somewhere down the line. Without him, I mean, he's open. Apparently, Jones-Drew is open to a trade, but to who? You know, and for how much? I know there's teams out there that can probably fit him into the cap and give up a couple of picks here and there, but I don't like the way they're handling it. No. Is it fair? Well, it's a different story. I mean, we've got $5 million for a baseball player sitting on a stationary bike, and then you're paying more than that for somebody who says he isn't even who he is. So I can't figure sports out anymore.
Well, here's my take. Drew, really, 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 really fast. I could think of a team up in New York who would take down the Giants. No. He's kind of small, but, yeah. That's a pretty good point of view, Ken.
I believe you signed a contract. You signed that contract. You knew how much it was. To renegotiate is you got to honor the contract. Now, like Darryl said, if you want to sit down and come to maybe a compromise, because, I mean, Jacksonville needs this guy. As you know, he was on my fantasy team last year, so I followed him every week. I knew what he did. You take him out of the equation, and Jacksonville probably doesn't win the game all season. This is the offense because they have no passing game. And the fact that he ran for the yards that he did and played as well as he did when the other teams knew he was going to get the ball 25 to 30 times a game, that's the guy you want to keep on your team, you know? This is a valuable player.
They
still didn't stop. This guy had a great season.
I got you. I understand that. Let me be the voice of reason for Mr. Khan. Fred Taylor was the man there. MJD, he got his last contract when he was the dude taking pickup. He was sharing carries with Fred, with Mr. Taylor. So, my heart doesn't bleed for him for one reason. He's still making $9.4 million a year for the next 2 years, okay? If you want to hear about what a running back is worth and how that all works out now, go talk to Matt Forte, okay? My point is, he is a star for Jacksonville, but Khan is trying to downplay paying anyone huge money and saying we need the right mix of people to create a team in Jacksonville. And he may be right, but where he's wrong is talking this crap in the public eye. That's wrong, and he's going to regret that. He's going to regret that because that means other free agents aren't going to want to play for an owner like that.
Right. Right.
That's my take on it. We have 3 minutes left in the program, so that means that we're all going to have, actually, we got a minute and 30 seconds left in the program. So 30 seconds each, final thoughts. Let's start with you, Darryl.
Oh, final thoughts. All right, well, Mike Wallace is in Steelers camp, people. Much as I don't like Steelers, he's in camp. Because he misses football and people are asking him, you know, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Carson Palmer and the Raiders, not off to a good start, I'll tell you that. Mariani, that leg injury, you know what he saw? He saw his career done. His teammates told him, don't look down. He looked down. And what about the Atlanta Falcons? This is my last final thought. Chris Redmond out, Luke McCown in. Former, comes back to the North Coast, Cleveland Brown, Luke McCown.
Ken.
I'm looking forward, I know I've mentioned this a few times, to the soap opera, which will be known as the New York Jets this season. Being a Giant fan with the Super Bowl trophy, with the Lombardi trophy, we can sit and have a nice laugh at them. But this is going to be entertaining. This is going to give us information and material all season.
I agree with you there. It's gonna be an interesting season. My final thoughts are just this. The NHL, there's not going to be hockey. Not going to be hockey until after the holidays. Hear what I say and watch what happens. Thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk. See you again next week. Good night.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd. Listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
Analyze.
Radio.